अत्रे गृहे सुश्रेष्ठा सिद्धुत्पत् अन्तहेतवान् किञ्चिच्चिकर्षवो जातः एतत् आख्याहिने गुरो विदुरोवाच अत्रे गृहे सुरश्रेष्ठा स्थिति तत्तव किंचिचिकित्सवो जाता मे गुरो विदुरोवाच अत्रे गृहे सुरश्रेष्ठ स्थितिव किंचिचिकित्सवो जाता My dear spiritual master. Translation: after hearing this, Vidura inquired from Maitreya, "My dear master, how is it that the three deities Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who were the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the whole creation, became the offspring of the wife of Atri Muni?" Purport: the inquisitiveness of Vidura was quite fitting, for he understood that when the Supersoul, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva all appeared through the person of Anusuya, the wife of Atri Muni, there must have been some great purpose, otherwise why they had appeared in such a way. Maitreya said, when Brahma ordered Atri Muni to create generations after Mang Anusuya, Atri Muni and his wife went to perform severe austerities in the valley of the mountain known as Raksha. In that mountain valley flows a river named Nirvindya. On the bank of the river are many ashok trees and other plants full of palas flowers, and there is also the sweet sound of water falling from waterfall. The husband and wife reached that beautiful place. There, the great sage concentrated his mind by yogic breathing exercises and thereby controlled all attachment. Controlling all attachment, he remained standing on one leg only, eating nothing but air, and stood there on one leg for 100 years. He was thinking, "May the Lord of the universe, of whom I have taken shelter, kindly be pleased to offer me a son exactly like him." Wherefore it appears that the great sage Atri Muni had no specific idea of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, he must have been conversant with the Vedic information that there is a Supreme Personality of God, who is the creator of the universe, from everything emanates, who maintains this creator manifestation, whom the entire manifestation is conserved after dissolution, yato va imani bhutani. The Vedic mantras give us information of the Supreme Personality of God, and so Atri Muni concentrated his mind upon that Supreme Personality of God, and even without knowing his name, just to beg from him a child exactly on his level. This kind of devotional service in which God's knowledge and name is lacking is also described in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord assists the four kinds of men with backgrounds of pious activities come to him asking for what they need. Atri Muni wanted a son exactly like the Lord, and therefore he is not supposed to have been a pure devotee, because he had a desire to be fulfilled, and that desire was material. Although he wanted a son exactly like the Supreme Personality of God, and his desire was material because he did not want the Personality of God in himself, but only a child exactly like him. If he had desired the Supreme Personality of God as his child, he would have been completely free of material desires, because he would have wanted the Supreme Absolute Truth. But because he wanted a similar child, his desire was material. Thus, Atri Muni cannot be counted among the pure devotees. While Atri Muni was engaged in these severe austerities, a blazing fire came out of his head by virtue of his breathing exercise, and that fire was seen by the three principal deities of the three worlds. Purport: according to Sri Jiva Goswami, the fire of Pranayama is mental satisfaction. that fire was perceived by the Supersoul Vishnu, and thereby Lord Brahma and Shiva also perceived it. Atri Muni, by his breathing exercise, concentrated on the Supersoul of the Lord of the Universe. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord of the Universe is Vasudeva. And by the direction of Vasudeva, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva work. Therefore, in the direction of Vasudeva, both Lord Brahma and Shiva perceived the severe penance adopted by Atri Muni, and thus they were pleased to come down, as stated in the next verse. At that time, the three deities approached the hermitage of Atri Muni, accompanied by the denizens of the heavenly planets, such as the celestial beauties, the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, and the Nagas. Thus they entered the ashram of the great sage, who had become famous by his austerities. Wherefore, it is advised in the Vedic literature that one should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, who is the Lord of the Universe and the Master of creation, makes, and destruction. He is known as the Supersoul, and when one worships the Supersoul, all other deities such as Brahma and Shiva appear with Lord Vishnu, because they are directed by the Supersoul. The sage was standing on one leg, and as soon as he saw that the three deities had appeared before him, he was so pleased to see them all together that despite great difficulty, he approached them on one leg. Therefore, thereafter, he began to offer prayers to the three deities who were seated on different carriers, Bull, Swan, and Garuda, and who held in their hands a drum, kusa, grass, and discs. The sage offered them his respects by falling down with a stick. Wherefore, danda means long rod and bhakti means light. Before a superior one has to fall down on the ground just like a stick, and this sort of offering of obeisances is called dandavat. Atri Rishi offered his respect to the three deities in this way. They were identified by their different carriers and different symbolic representations. That, in that connection, it is stated here that Lord Vishnu was sitting on Garuda, a big aquiline bird, and was carrying in his hand a disc. Brahma was sitting on a swan and had in his hand kusa grass, and Lord Shiva was sitting on a bull and carrying in his hand a small drum called the dhamaru. Atri Rishi recognized them by their symbolic representations in different carriers, and thus he offered them prayers and respects. Text 25, Atri Muni was greatly pleased to see that the three devas were gracious towards him. His eyes were dazzled by the effulgence of their bodies, and therefore he closed his eyes for the time being. Wherefore, since the deities were smiling, he could understand they were pleased with him. Their glaring bodily effulgence was intolerable to his eyes, so he closed them for the time being. But since his heart was already attracted by the deities, some or other, he gathered his senses and with swollen hands and sweet words, began to offer prayers to the predominating deities of the universe. The great sage Atri said, O Brahma, O Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva, you have divided yourself into three bodies by accepting the three modes of material nature, as you do in every millennium for the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all of you and beg to inquire whom of you three I have called by my prayer. Purport, Atri Rishi called the Supreme Personality of Godhead Jagadishwara, the Lord of the Universe. The Lord must exist before the creation, otherwise how could he be its Lord? If someone constructs a big building, this indicates he must have existed before the building was constructed. Therefore, the Supreme Lord, the Creator of the Universe, must be transcendent to the material modes of nature. But it is known that Vishnu takes charge of the mode of goodness, Brahma takes charge of the mode of passion, and Lord Shiva takes charge of the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Atri Muni said that Jagadishwara, the Lord of the Universe, must be one of you, but since three of you have appeared, I cannot recognize whom I am called, who are all so kind. Please let me know who is actually Jagadishwara, the Lord of the Universe. In fact, Atri Rishi was doubtful about the conscious position of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, but he was quite certain that the Lord of the Universe cannot be one of the creatures created by Maya. His very inquiry about whom he had called indicates that he was in doubt about the constant position of the Lord. Therefore, he prayed to all three, kindly let me know who is the transcendental Lord of the Universe. He was certain, of course, that not all of them could be the Lord, but the Lord of the Universe was one of the three. I called for the Supreme Personality of God, and desiring a son like him, and a thought of him only, but although he is far beyond the mental speculation of man, all three of you have come here. Kindly let me know how you have come, for I am greatly bewildered about this. Therefore, Atri Muni was confidently aware that the Supreme Personality, God, is Lord of the universe, so he prayed for the one Supreme Lord. He was surprised, therefore, that three of them appeared. The great sage Maitreya continued, upon hearing Atri Muni speak in that way, the three deities smiled and they replied in the following sweet words. So this shows how Anasuya gave birth to expansions of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And as explained here, the reason is that Atri Muni prayed for a son like the Supreme Lord. So when he prayed in that way, then all three of them appeared before him. Why three, not just Supreme Lord? It's explained here that all three came because Brahma and Shiva followed Vishnu. Vishnu, of course, is the actual Supreme Lord. And then he has his servants who do certain activities such as creation and destruction. In one sense, these are also aspects of the Supreme Lord. We say also that the Supreme Lord maintains, creates, and destroys the material world. But ultimately, this is under Vishnu. But he delegates specific responsibilities to Brahma for Visarga, or self-creation, and Shiva for the destruction of the universe, and the minor destructions within the big pralaya. They are also some sort of lord of the universe because they have a certain sense of control. Their sense of control is greater than the devatas like Indra and others who keep changing throughout the day of Brahma with each manvantara. They have a very special position. And we see in India they're also very famous. They all get worshipped because of this great power that they possess. So creation, maintenance, destruction are all important functions in the universe, and it requires great personalities. But behind all that, we do have, again, the Supreme Lord. So we have Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. But behind that, we have Vishnu, and another Vishnu, and another Vishnu. And that is Garbhadakshay, and then behind that we have Mahavishnu, behind Mahavishnu we have Shankarshan, etc. So ultimately, everything is traced back to that Supreme Lord who takes the form of Vishnu. So when Atri Muni prayed for the Supreme Lord, as Prabhupada explains, he was somewhat vague. He wanted a son like the Supreme Lord. So it could be the Supreme Lord himself, or someone who is like the Supreme Lord. So Brahma and Shiva, who are guna avatars, have great power. So when he did his prayer and he was doing his meditation and pranayam, Vishnu actually appeared, and he brought with him Brahma and Shiva. When the Supreme Lord appears, usually he does not appear alone. So he will come with his associates. Sometimes he will come with Lakshmi, sometimes he will come with his servants or his guards or whatever. And of course we always see Garuda there. Sometimes he comes with devatas. In this case he is accompanied by Brahma and Shiva. So it is not really extraordinary that all three of them should appear. If the Lord appears, then possibly everyone will appear. Brahma, Shiva, all the devatas, etc. will appear. And it explains here that actually that's what happened. After the three of them appeared, then all the other deities also appeared, like the Gandharvas and the Siddhas and the Vidyadharas and the Nagas and the devatas, etc. So when the Lord makes his appearance, everyone follows him. In the case of Krishna also we see when Krishna was born, then the devatas all offered prayers. And it's also explained when Krishna made his appearance on earth, all the devatas, they also appeared on earth. And they entered the forms of many of the Vrishnis, members of the Yadu dynasty. And they participated in the Lord's pastimes. Also the avatar forms or other expansions of Krishna also appear, because he is Swayam Bhagavan, then he is complete. So all the other forms should appear with him. So that's exactly what happened. All the avatar forms appear, but we don't see them. Where are they? So it's explained that actually these forms entered into the body of Krishna. So they all resided within Krishna, all the avatar forms. And when Krishna finished his pastimes, then these different avatar forms went back to their abodes, such as Ramchandra, etc. So when the Lord appears, all the avatar forms appear, all the devatas appear, and Brahma and Shiva appear also. So it's nothing extraordinary when the Lord appears that other great personalities will also appear. Of course, Krishna is very special, so when he appears, then all the avatar forms also appear with him. Vishnu appears, then obviously Krishna doesn't have to appear in that case. So Vishnu appears, and Brahma, Shiva, and others will make their appearance as servants of Vishnu. So this is exactly what happened here. And Atri Muni, when he saw them, he offered his respects, but he was a little confused because he was offering a prayer, please give me a son like the Supreme Lord. And then three persons appear, not one. So who is the Supreme Lord? Is it Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva? So he obviously recognized the different persons. He wasn't ignorant, so he knows that Vishnu rides on Garuda and Shiva rides on a bull. Brahma rides on a swan. So that he understood. But still he's asking this question because we see that devatas are also confused. What to speak of sages? They may also have illusions about certain things. So we know the sages, some of them are involved in karma. They are responsible for implementing karma. Some sages are there to implement gyan. Some sages are there to implement bhakti. And these persons are empowered by the Supreme Lord. So they have different levels of realization. And so those involved more in karma will have less realization than those involved in gyan or bhakti. If a sage is involved in bhakti, then he will understand who is supreme, that is Vishnu or Krishna, like Narada Muni. He understands very clearly. Those who are involved in karma, some of the sons of Lord Brahma, they will not have such clear understanding. So here Atri Muni is a little confused about the identity of who actually is supreme. Is it Vishnu, Shiva, or Brahma? In any case, we'll see that they were all pleased with him, and therefore they all expanded as his sons. So he had three sons. One who was an expansion of Vishnu, one is an expansion of Shiva, one an expansion of Brahma. So in this way, his desire was fulfilled. He got the Lord as his son. And Prabhupada explains here that his desire was not pure. Because he had a desire for a son like the Lord. And that desire, of course, was because of the duty to produce progeny. So that is a material desire.
let me produce progeny. Of course, indirectly we can say that it was also part of the Lord's plan, because the Manus and their descendants and the sages and the Prajapatis are all involved in creation of population. So they have a certain function to perform under the Supreme Lord. So he is carrying out that function. And he wanted a son like the Supreme Lord. So in itself it is a materialistic desire. It is also, of course, spiritual, because he didn't just want a great son, he wanted a son like the Lord. So in that sense it is spiritual. And we understand he had some realization of the Lord. At the same time, he is not in the same position as, for instance, the persons who were incarnate finally as Vasudeva and Devaki, or as Yasoda and Nanda. Sukadeva Goswami describes how in previous births that personalities prayed for the Lord as their son. Not a person like the Lord, but they actually prayed for the Lord as their son, to establish a relationship of Vatsalya Rasa. So Krishna Garba appeared from Krishna, and Sutapa, because they prayed, "Let me have the Lord as a son," three times. So he came and was their son, and then he became Vamana, and then he became Krishna, or Vasudeva Devaki. So they prayed directly for the Lord as their son. That, of course, could also be material if you only want to treat the Lord as a material entity because you want a son, so let the Lord become my son. But we understand that they actually had spiritual desire, because they expressed Vatsalya Rasa towards the Lord, not as a material entity, but as a spiritual love for the Supreme Lord. So Vasudeva and Devaki, therefore, are exalted not as having material desires, but in purely spiritual. And of course, they are Nitya Siddha devotees. So they have a desire for the Lord as their son. That desire is not material, that is part of Rasa. Vatsalya Rasa, Vatsalya Rati, which becomes Rasa. And similarly, it's described that Yasoda and Nanda were Droni and Dara in a previous life, and they also wanted the Lord as their son. And so therefore, they incarnated as Yasoda and Nanda and had Krishna as their son. But, of course, we also know that they're Nitya Siddha. Yasoda and Nanda are Nitya Siddha devotees, so there's no question of sadhana, ultimately. Because if they're Nitya Siddha, how can they do sadhana? Sadhana means one is not Nitya Siddha. So they meditated for thousands of years, and finally they became Nanda and Yasoda. So that is the answer given to Parikshit's question by Sukadeva Goswami. He gives that answer. How are they so fortunate? Because they did sadhana. And then they came young, not in Minnesota. So that may sound logical, but when we see that they're actually eternally the father and mother of Krishna, then the answer does not make sense. So Parikshit understood that, and he was not satisfied with that answer. How is it possible that they became the mother and father? Sukadeva said, sadhana. And what Parikshit knows, no one can become Yasoda and Nanda. They're eternal. So there's no question of anyone becoming Yasoda and Nanda. No one can take their place. They are eternally the father and mother. Every time Krishna appears, it's not a different Yasoda and Nanda. It's the same Yasoda and Nanda in every day of Brahma. It looks like some sort of contradiction. Why does Sukadeva say this? So the answer is that both are true. Yes, Yasoda and Nanda are Nitya Siddha devotees, and no one can take their place. So Parikshit's supposition is correct. But we cannot also discount the fact that Sukadeva said this. that they were previously drawn on Dara. So how is it possible? So the answer is that there were some jivas, two jivas, who also wanted the Lord as their son. And they were actually amsas, expansions of Yasoda and Nanda. In other words, the Nityasiddha jivas can also have expansions, just as we find here that Brahma and Shiva have expansions as Soma and Durvasa. So the Nityasiddha devotees also expand, and their partial expansions were Drona and Dara. And they did the austerities as like sadhakas, and then they merged into Yasoda and Nanda. Their desire was fulfilled, in other words, when Yasoda and Nanda appeared and they merged into them, and they experienced that Vatsalya Rasa. So in that way, the two different viewpoints are solved. So anyway, the idea of having the Lord as a son can be a very spiritual desire of the highest level for Nityasiddha devotees. But it can also be part of sadhana. So one can aspire for such a position. One cannot become Yasoda or Nanda, but one can be like them. So we find that in Vrindavan, all of the elder gopas and gopis have a vatsalya relation with Krishna also. They're older and they think of Krishna as their son, but not their actual son, but like that. So they have a vatsalya relationship also. So if one has a desire for Krishna as the son, then one can take that position in the spiritual world of being an elder gopa or gopi and relate to Krishna in that way. Though one is not literally the son. The only exception to that is when Krishna performs the Brahma Mohana Lila. For 1 year, Krishna does become the actual son of the other gopas and gopis, because he became all the sons, all the other cowherd boys. He became all the cowherd boys for 1 year. And therefore, everyone had a chance to have Krishna actually as their son. And therefore, their Vatsalya Rasa increased at that particular point. And that way, Krishna satisfied all their desires. So therefore, the Lord does have this position of taking the role of a son. And we saw in the previous canto that Devahuti had this relationship with Kapila. She had the Lord as her son. She, of course, was not praying particularly for that, but the Lord appeared as her son, and she understood very clearly that this is the Supreme Lord. And therefore, she later on asked for knowledge, and Kapila Dev instructed her. When Kapila left, she suffered not material suffering, but separation in Vatsalya Rasa. Just as Yasoda, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan for Mathura, then Yasoda suffers, Nananda suffers because of the relationship of Vatsalya Rasa. And when Krishna leaves, there is a great feeling of pain. So that suffering is not material, that is also spiritual. So similarly, Devahuti's suffering when Kapila left is also spiritual, not material. So in this way, the certain persons can become the fathers and mothers of the Supreme Lord. Of course, some of these positions are Nityasiddha devotees also. But some jivas also can take a very similar role to that. In this way, the Lord fulfills all sorts of desires of the different types of devotees. He will take different positions according of love, according to the desires of the devotees. So we find Krishna in all these different positions. He is the son, he is the friend, he is the master, he is the lover. He takes all these different positions in relation to different devotees.
Sometimes I think we argue, Lord is passionate.
Well, such a desire is not for the Lord to appear is not wrong for the devotee, because the aspiration of one who is doing sadhana is that eventually he will directly see the Supreme Lord. But he cannot expect the Lord to appear when he is in a fallen state. Sometimes the Lord may do that, even if the devotee does not request it. The Lord may do that under exceptional circumstances, as he does with Dhruva. He appears suddenly, and Dhruva is unprepared. He didn't even ask for the appearance of the Lord, and the Lord appeared. And then by touching Dhruva, Dhruva became purified. So the Lord may do that sometimes. But the aspiration of the devotee is eventually that he will meet and serve the Lord directly. The goal of sadhana is bhava and then prema. So that means that in bhava one directly sees the Lord, and prema, of course, that is perfected with a relationship of service. So it is not beyond the scope, but of course one cannot jump beyond qualification and expect the Lord to appear or demand the Lord to appear at the level of sadhana. But according to the type of relationship in sadhana, then the Lord will make his appearance later on. So if one worships the Lord in dasya rasa, in sadhana, then that's the exact relationship that will be established when the Lord does appear, when we'll be in dasya rasa. And if one worships the Lord as parent, as we see in the case of Droni and Dara, then they get vatsalya rasa, and Krishna becomes their child. Or if one worships the Lord as friend, then you get sakya rasa.
Also, there will be listening to somebody's teachings. She's satisfied. Now she's feeling very bad at least. You may ask that, how is it? You know, instead of hearing the Lord message, she's feeling that level of separation.
Well, as I said, they are Nityasiddha devotees, and their relationship, their emotions in that relationship are all spiritual. So, in all of these rasas, it is not always happiness. There is sorrow as part of the relationship. Of course, that sorrow is spiritual, so it is part of the happiness. So when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, everyone's in grief. But that is not material grief. That is part of their relationship of love. And it always resolves, that separation always resolves with Krishna appearing again. So though it's explained there in the last canto that though Kapila, they disappeared and went away, nevertheless Devahuti went to the spiritual world, and there she again met Kapila as her son. So nothing is left dangling. She actually again achieved association with Kapila there.
Nantra-sri-sri-srimad-bhagadam ki jai, Jisurna-sbhan-maharaj ki jai, Jivan-gresi-sri-bhaktena-sa.